I greet you all today, and it is my pleasure to be in front of you today to share this word with you. As you know, we've been going through the book of Matthew, so we'll be continuing in Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 12. Although our focus will be mainly in verse 1 to verse 2, but let's just read from verse 1 to verse 12 in Matthew chapter 2. It says, "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Let's close our eyes while we pray. We thank you, Lord, today that we may come to you to hear your word, to hear you speaking to us, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit to anoint this word, Lord. We pray, Lord, that what happened with Paul when he said, "I did not preach with eloquence or with wisdom, but with the power of the Holy Spirit," Lord. We pray that it might be the same today, Lord, that your power might be able to lead this way today, Lord. Give me wisdom in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In the last couple of weeks, we saw how the prophecy of Micah the prophet was fulfilled, that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. And we saw that the prophecies that Jesus will be born from the lineage of David was also fulfilled in his birth. And we looked at how the angel came to John, to Joseph and Mary, and proclaimed the birth of Jesus to them even before he was born. But today I want us to just look at these wise men from the east that the Bible tells us that they saw a star coming. They saw a star, and this star led them to Judea where they found the baby in the house. But I just want us to look at three things today. First thing is that they were led by this star. And second thing is that they worshipped Jesus. And third thing, I want us to look and ask ourselves, why did God reveal the birth of Jesus to these wise men, but not revealed it to the chief priests and the scribes, like we just heard? And in verse 2, we see these wise men, they're arriving in Jerusalem, and they're asking the people then, and they say, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? for we saw his star when it rose. Now we may not know what kind of star this was, but we know one thing, that this star is the one that led them from the east where they were living to Judea, where they found the baby. And from the way they spoke about this star, it's clear that they understood this star to be different from all the kinds of stars that they were usually seeing. We don't know whether they were astronomers or people who study stars or not, but it's clear from them that this was a particular star that they felt that they needed to go and follow it and see to where it will lead them to. Had this star been a common star, then it's logical that they would not have followed it, but they understood this star to be a sign from heaven testifying to some miracle that had occurred. That's why when they came to Judea, they asked, "Where is he who has been born?" So they knew that this star was bringing good news to them, that somebody had been born in Judea. And they followed the star, so the star could lead them to where the one who was being born was. And this star reminds us of something similar that happened in the Old Testament. If you read the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, they were not just going on a road that they did not know, but they were led by pillars of cloud by day and pillars of fire by night. We can just go and read it in Exodus chapter 13 and just see the similarity between this star that led the wise men and the pillars of cloud by day and the pillar of cloud by night that led the children of Israel. Exodus 13 from verse 20. Not verse 20. We can read from verse 17. It says, "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, 'Lest the people change their minds and when they see war and return to Egypt.' But God led the people around the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones from here.' And they moved on from Sukkoth, and they camped at Ephraim on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night." The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from the people. Now we see the same similarity, that these people from the east, they were led by this star and the children of Israel when they were exoding from Egypt to go to the land of the promise. They were led by this cloud, pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. So this similarity can be seen here, and it can be seen that the pillars of cloud and the pillars of fire, they were God's miraculous sign to lead the people from where they were coming from to where they were supposed to go, which was the land of the promise. And the Israel understood that it was God who was behind the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of cloud by night. That's why we see that later on, when the pillar of cloud would rest in the tent of meeting, the children of Israel would go and worship where the pillar of cloud was resting. We can read in Exodus chapter 33 from verse 9 to verse 10. It says, "When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud will descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord will speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door." So now you could see that people would worship when they see this pillar of cloud standing by the tent of meeting, and where we are reading in Matthew chapter 2, in verse 9 to verse 11, we see that when the star stood on top of the house, these wise men knew that it was the house where they were supposed to go, and they went into the house and they saw the baby and they worshipped, just as the Israelites when they saw the pillar of cloud descending onto the tent of meeting, they will go to the entrance of the tent and they will worship. So in the same way as when the pillars of cloud will stand on the entrance of the tent of the meeting, the star rested over the place where the child was. And the wise men knew they had to worship inside the house, just as Israelites worship at the entrance to the tent of meeting. These wise men understood that this star was God's miraculous sign, just as Israelites understood that the pillars of cloud and that of fire were signs from God of His presence. Now, just as the Israelites followed the pillars, these wise men also followed the star, and they rested where the star rested, just as the Israelites rested whenever the pillars stopped moving. Now, if you remember, the Israelites, whenever they were going to the land of promise, whenever they had to rest, the pillar of cloud would stop, or the pillar of fire would stop, and they would know that they had to take shelter there and make their tents and stop, and then they will go when the pillar of cloud moves as well. And here we see that these wise men, when the star stopped on top of this house, they knew that that is the house that they had to go in and go and worship. But the first thing we see with these wise men is that they worshipped the child. In verse 2 it says, these wise men, when they arrived in Jerusalem, they said, "We have come to worship him." So now they were making their intentions clear, that they had come not just to follow the star, to where the star will lead them, but to get to where the star would lead them, but and get there and worship. And in verse 11, when they found the house and when they found the mother and the child inside the house, they fell down and worshipped. Now this worship is not the kind of worship that has been defined today, where worship is just music. When people sing, they think that that's worship. But the worship here, it was a more broad worship. It included praying to the person that you were worshiping. It was not just the music. It might include music, but it more had to do with praying, giving this person honor, giving this person glory, because the person that you are worshiping is such that he deserves this glory and honor. And that's the same thing we see with the Israelites in Exodus 33, that when the pillar of cloud stood at the entrance to the tent of the meeting, the Israelites worshipped. But what were the Israelites worshipping? What was the reason for them to worship, and who were they worshipping? Now we know that God was coming to speak to Moses inside the tent of the meeting. That's why the pillar of cloud will come and stand in the entrance to the tent, and people would then come and worship. So the Israelites were not worshipping the pillar of cloud, but they were worshipping God, who was manifesting himself to them, to go and speak to them through Moses. So the Israelites then were worshipping God who was in the tent. If you read verse 9 of Exodus 33, it shows us that God was inside the tent. That's why people came to come and worship. It says, when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand in the entrance of the tent, and the Lord will speak with Moses. So their subject of worship was the Lord, who would come and speak to Moses. And remember that those days they had told Moses that you speak to God and then you and then God will give you a message, and then you can come and speak to us and tell us what God is saying. So the people were worshiping God, but not worshiping the pillar of cloud. So that's the same thing we see with these wise men. When they came inside the house, they were worshiping just as the Israelites were worshiping. And the subject of worship was this baby. Though he was a baby, they understood this baby to be a king. Because if you read in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 2, they say, "We have come to worship him, him who is the king of the Jews." Now you may ask yourself, how is it this child was a king, but he was a baby? But they understood that he was a king, even though he had just been born, even though he was just a baby. So they were worshipping because the one who was born the king of the Jews. And Prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 5, he doesn't say he was just a king, but he says that he will reign on David's throne, but he was also a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting father, and prince of kings. So these wise men, they understood that the one they were worshipping was God himself. He was not just a baby like any other baby. He was not a king, or maybe somebody who will be a king when he's old, but that he was a king even at that point in time when he was a baby and they were worshipping him. This means that they were worshipping God just as Israelites were worshipping God. They recognized that he was not like any other child, but rather he was king. They saw that he was not going to be a king one day when he's old, but he is a king at birth, even before his earthly king. Earthly birth, he was already a king. He was born a king. They saw that he was not a king like Herod, who was king. Because remember that when they arrived in Judea, they met Herod. But they did not worship Herod, because they understood Herod to be a king like any other king of the earth. But when they came to Jesus, this king of the Jews, they understood him to be superior to the kings of the earth, to be superior to Herod as well. And from the east where they were coming from, they knew kings. There were many kings who were there, but they did not worship these kings the way they were worshiping Jesus, because they understood Jesus to be a king who was different from these other kings. And the Bible, when we talk about Jesus, he says his kingdom is everlasting, and his reign there shall be no end. And this was the king that these wise men were worshipping. Now the first thing I want us to look at is, why did God choose these wise men? Why did he not choose the chief priests and the scribes? If you look at the chief priests and the scribes, there were people who knew scripture. There were people who knew all the prophecies about the Christ who would come. That's why when Herod had the news of this wise men that there was one who was born, who is the king of the Jews, he called the chief priests and the scribes and asked them, where would the Christ be born? And the chief priests and the scribes told him that he will be born in Jerusalem. So it makes logic to me and you that God should have chosen, or should have revealed this truth of Christ's birth to the chief priests and scribe, because they were the one who knew all the prophecies about Christ. They knew where Christ would be born. They even quoted Micah in Micah 5 verse 2. They are the ones who quoted it, that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And they are the ones who knew that Christ will be born from the lineage of David. And most importantly, they were expecting Christ to come during their lifetime. So having been chief priests and scribes the way they were, They were expecting Christ to come anytime from there. That's why they went to ask John the Baptist, "Are you the Christ?" I think we just read that today in John chapter 1 verse 19. They went to approach him and asked him, "Are you the Christ? Tell us if you are the Christ." So they wouldn't have asked him if they were not expecting Christ to come. And later on, we see that they asked Jesus the same question, "Are you the Christ?" in John chapter 10. And Christ told them that, "Yes, I am the Christ." But they did not believe that he was the Christ. So these people, they knew all the prophecies about Christ, and they expected Christ to come, yet God did not reveal his birth to them, but revealed it to the wise men from the east, who were themselves Gentiles. Now, if you know about the Jews, is that they did not think much of Gentiles. If you were Gentiles, you were a person of low stature, a person that God will not reveal any truth to. Yet God still chose to reveal the truth of the Christ birth to these Gentiles instead of the chief priests and the scribes. So they look like the perfect people for God to reveal Christ's birth to them. But God did not reveal it to them, but rather he revealed it to these wise men. Though these wise men were Gentiles, but God still chose to reveal this truth to them. And when God decided to reveal Christ's birth to Jews, he revealed it to shepherds. As we see in Luke chapter 2, that the angels came to the shepherds who were just outside Bethlehem and revealed the birth of Christ to them. Now, shepherds in those days, they were the most despised people. They were hated. They were not liked because they were stinking. They were people who spent their lifetime in the field and running after sheep and the cattle. But God revealed this truth to them. And they were just people with low education levels. They were people who would not be believed if they came and said, "Well, the Christ has been born." The chief priests would not have believed them. But God chose to reveal Christ's birth to them. And the other man we see the birth of Christ being revealed to is a man called Simeon. But the way it's so mysterious is that God revealed it to him though he was a priest, and God revealed the birth of Christ to him knowing full well that the guy was gonna die immediately after he revealed the truth to him. Yet he still revealed the truth to him, but not to the chief priest, but not to the scribes, who still had a long way to live. And the rest of the people who knew about the Christ birth were women. There were Elizabeth and Anna. Now Anna was a prophet who would go to the temple and stay in the temple, and God revealed the truth of Christ's birth to her when the baby Jesus went to the temple to be circumcised. But the thing about Jewish culture is that women's testimony was not accepted, yet God still chose these women to reveal the truth about Christ's birth to them. But why did God not reveal this truth to the chief priests? We find our answer in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. As to why did God choose people who were not thought highly, or people whose testimony would not be accepted, to be witnesses of Christ's birth, than to choose the chief priests and the scribes whom the people would have believed? In Matthew 11 verse 25, it says, "At that time Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children.'" Now, if you look at the chief priests and scribes, there were people you will describe as wise, people you will describe as having an understanding of scripture. they knew all prophecies of Christ. They knew where Christ would be born and around what time Christ would be born and what Christ would do when he comes into the earth. But God did not reveal this birth of Christ to them. Now these wise men, as they were Gentiles, they were little in the eyes of chief priests and scribes and all Jews. That's why God chose them. God, by his nature, despises the proud and shows mercy to the humble. Now these wise men humbled themselves. There were people who were living far from Jerusalem or from Bethlehem, but they left their homes to go and follow a star. That was the sign of how humble they were. And when they met the baby, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they immediately bowed down and worshipped the child as he was due of worship. And they gave this child gifts worthy of a king, as was customary in those days. Gifts of gold and myrrh were gifts that were given to kings. And that's what these wise men did. But what is it that the chief priests and scribes did when they heard of Christ's birth? In verse 3, we hear that they were troubled. They did the same thing that Herod did when he heard. In verse 3, we hear that Herod was troubled when he heard that the king of the Jews was born. And these chief priests and the scribes also were troubled. Instead of rejoicing and following these wise men to where the star would lead them, to where the baby was, but instead they were troubled. They failed to go and see the baby, even though they heard that the one who was the king of the Jews was born. They didn't even send their gifts with the wise men, as they needed to do to the one who was king, to send their gifts and send their regards and the appreciation that the king has been born. And we know that later on, when they met the same Christ in John 10, when they asked him whether he was the Christ, and he told them he was the Christ, they rejected him. They refused to believe that he was the Christ. They blasphemed him. And later on, they crucified him. That is why God chose the wise men to reveal Christ's birth to them, instead of choosing the chief priests and the scribes. Now, in just closing, you have heard for 2 weeks now about Christ, who is God, and who came to save his people. And we just heard that these wise men, they worship him as they will worship God. And not Mary or Joseph stopped them and said, no, you cannot worship him this way. Because they also understood that this child was not like any other child, but he was God manifested in the human flesh. Now, are you going to worship him like these wise men did? Or are you going to reject him like these chief priests and the scribes did? Are you going to give him your life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing, just as the wise men gave him gifts worthy of a king? Just as these wise men left their homes and went to look for him, and when they found him, they came to the house and they worshipped him. And they were exceedingly joyful that they have found him. Are you also exceedingly joyful that you have found this Christ, that you have heard about him, that having heard that he was God, that he was a Savior, who was sent to forgive your sins, to take away the sins of his people, would you now be exceedingly glad as they were, and to believe in him just as this wise man believed in him? And you have also heard of the chief priests and how they have acted. Would you also be like them and reject Christ as they did? Even though they asked him many times whether he was Christ, he told them many times that yes, I was the Christ. but they still did not believe him, though they were waiting for him to come, and they knew all the prophecies about him. But when he revealed himself to them, they still rejected him and refused to obey him and obey his word. Would you do the same and reject Christ, though you have been told that he is the one who is able to save, that only through him can salvation be made possible? And would you blaspheme him by refusing to worship him as the chief priests and the scribes refused? Are you going to hold on to your sins and die in them like they did? There is no sign anywhere that these chief priests and scribes, that they later repented. We did not hear that they later repented. Even when Christ was crucified and the garment in the temple was cut in half, and they knew that this man was different from any man they've met, they still refused to worship him. They still refused to acknowledge him as Christ who deserved the worship. Even though they knew he was resurrected from the dead, they refused to still believe in him. Rather, they came up with a plan to try to refute his resurrection, to say that the disciples had stolen his body. And lastly, are you going to die in your sins and spend eternity in hell forever as they are at the moment? Since we do not know that they repented, and there's no sign that they did. In fact, we know that they persecuted the church who believed in the same Jesus who was Christ. We know that they died in their sins, and they now have this judgment upon them. Though they knew the truth about the Christ, they refused to believe him or to obey him. Now, brethren, it's a warning to you that you have heard of this Christ. You have heard that he was born King of the Jews, that he was born God. He was God even before his birth. He was King of the Jews even before his birth. And he is worthy of worship, and he is worthy of glory and praise from us, and for us to leave our sins and to cling to him. Now may we be like these wise men and worship him and bow down and give him glory that he deserves. Amen. Amen. Let's close our eyes and pray. Lord, we thank you for the message we had today, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you might implant it in our children's heart, that they may believe, Lord, that you sent your Son to die for their sins, that he was the Christ that you promised will come, that there will not be any other to come, Lord, that if they reject him, they will die in their sins. We pray, O Lord, for those who are Jews as well, who continue to search the scriptures, who continue to read about this Christ who will be born in Bethlehem, and they continue to look in Bethlehem for him, but they don't know, Lord, that he came 2,000 years ago, and they rejected him, and they refused to acknowledge him, Lord. We pray that this truth, Lord, might be known throughout the earth, that everyone, Lord, may be like this wise man who came from far off to come and worship this baby. We give it glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just stand up and sing him. Hymn number 9. You can just sing 2 stanzas. Let's close our eyes while we close with the benediction. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen. Amen.